In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we come to the fifth Sunday in the season of Lent, which, if you like things neatly counted and ordered, is a fine thing to call it. But it's not nearly as interesting as calling it Eutica Sunday, which is what the Church has called it for a far longer period of time than it ever did fifth Sunday in Lent. Eutica is the Latin from the word judicare, which means to judge. The name for this Sunday is taken from the first verse of the introit that's appointed for the fifth Sunday in Lent, which we just sung together, Psalm 43, verse 1, "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me." Vindication, vindicare, judicare. Vindication is a judgment, but of a particular kind of judgment. Vindication is that judgment that proves that you are right and not wrong, that you are innocent and not guilty of the charges that were filed against you. Vindication is the judgment that clears your name that's been smeared. Vindication is the judgment that is in your favor. It's an acquittal on your behalf that makes you innocent of the charges that were filed against you and the crime that was said that you committed. So vindication is good news. The opposite of vindication is condemnation. Condemnation is the judgment that declares you to be guilty of all of those charges that have been filed against you. Condemnation is the judgment that declares that you are indeed worthy of the crime, of the punishment for the crime that you have committed. So if you are on trial before a judge in a civil court, you hope and you pray that the judge declares the good news to you and vindicates you of whatever it is that you're charged with. You hope and you pray that your lawyer is able to present your case and convince the jury that you're not guilty of all of the charges that have been brought up against you. As we all well know, these kinds of trials take place in many settings other than civil courtrooms. They take place right in the playgrounds and the classrooms and the offices and the neighborhoods where we live, and I think most frequently take place right in our own homes. Accusations are made against us, and with that, a trial begins. Evidence is gathered and presented. Some of it's gossip, some of it's opinion. Some of it's strictly malicious rumor, but it's all presented as though it were fact. Sometimes the internet and the media are employed in order to persuade the jury because they can be very effective. And men and women and boys and girls and mothers and fathers and husbands and wives are judged. And reputations are threatened. And friendships are questioned and marriages are broken long before the trial has ever even commenced, let alone finished. And the accused cry out, "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me." It happens all the time and it happens everywhere. Some of these trials last no more than a few minutes, and then they're over. Sometimes they go on for years and years and years. Sometimes we're the ones who make the accusations and play the judge and the jury. Sometimes it's as though we're constantly being accused and tried, and we're always having to defend ourselves and prove ourselves over and over again. And sometimes the trial is fair. Most of the time, it's not. Sometimes it ends in confession. Sometimes it ends in forgiveness. Sometimes we're condemned. And sometimes we're vindicated. But we always pray, "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and the unjust man, deliver me." I think that it is important for us to understand that vindication is also a judgment against someone. It's a judgment against those who made the false accusations and the false judgments. Vindication not only declares the accused to be innocent, but it also puts the accusers to shame. And it makes them the guilty ones for their false accusations and the gossip and the cruel things that they've said about us. And we all do it. We all judge. We all judge other people, and we all judge other people all the time because we are very judgmental. But how many of our judgments are just? How often do we judge with justice? We have our prejudices and our jealousies and our politics, and we all have our sinful nature. There are things that we don't see. There are things that we don't want to see. And there are things that we just downright refuse to see. And we run all of our judgments through all of these filters like hot water through a tea bag, and it comes out colored and tainted. And the question is, how will we stand in the judgment when the God of justice, pure justice, perfect justice, when the God of justice vindicates those against whom we have brought our false charges and made our judgments and our accusations? Their vindication will be our condemnation. For the law is, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And so the prophet declares, who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Who is that deceitful and unjust man? You are the man, and so am I. Which is without a doubt why Jesus sternly warns, "Judge not, lest you be judged." So then, who is this one who prays for Eudicari? "Vindicate me, O God." Who is it who dares pray a prayer like this? Who dares to pray, "Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me," Psalm 7, verse 8. Who dares to pray, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering," Psalm 26, verse 1. Not you, and not me, that's for sure. In fact, woe to you, and woe to me, if we think that we can stand before the God of perfect justice based on my righteousness and the integrity that is within me. No, there's only one. There is only one who prays like this, and in so praying, prays rightly, orthodox, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the man. He is the man who is judged by men and women just like you and me, in fact, by you and me. He is the man who is judged by men and women with prejudice and jealousy and definitely with politics. He is the man who is judged by men and women who have already made up their mind against him before they ever hear the evidence, and then despite it. They ask him questions solely to trap him. A close friend takes a bribe to betray him. Another denies even knowing him. He is arrested, bound and tried by corrupt judges and corrupt courts who desire not justice at all, but only their own self-interests accomplished. One judge has him brutally flogged simply to please the crowds. But the crowds declare their guilty verdict and will settle for nothing less than the most shameful punishment available. Crucify him, crucify him. Just as he knew that they would. Just as he said that they would. And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. He is mankind's only just man. Denying Peter later testifies, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Which means that he who is the only just man is also mankind's only, truly falsely accused and falsely condemned man. For haven't we all committed sin which makes us all guilty? And which of us could even begin to say that there is no deceit found in our mouth? And when we are justly reviled for our sin, which of us has not reviled in return? Not out of justice, but out of pride. And when we suffer, whether it's justly or unjustly, do we not threaten to get even rather than entrusting ourselves to him who judges justly? Isn't that just what was going on among the disciples when they began to be indignant with James and John? Jesus doesn't judge James and John for their foolish request, but their brothers sure do. They began to be indignant, which is just what judgment based on pride and jealousy looks like. No one has more right to be indignant than Jesus does. But he will not vindicate himself. He continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Which is just what he is doing when we hear Mark tell us, and they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They can hardly keep up with him. He is going to his trial to be mocked, spit on, flogged, and killed, four verbs that will send chills down the spine of anyone who has one. So as he walks ahead of them, how hard is it for us to imagine that he is praying, "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me." He is going to be vindicated. For he knows that after 3 days, he will rise. So the time has now come for us to ask, of what is our Lord vindicated? It is his name. His name that was slandered and taken in vain and that continues to be abused and misrepresented in the worst ways. For after all, a person's name stands for the person himself. And the answer is, yes, it is his name, and his name has been vindicated. For the name that was despised and rejected by man is now the name that is above every name, to which every knee in heaven and on earth shall bow. His name has been vindicated. And so also has his authority been vindicated? His authority was constantly being challenged and discredited and overruled by the so-called authorities, just as it continues to be. By what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? But now, even he is vindicated, and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Even the authority to forgive sins. Even the authority to forgive your sins. And we could go on like this for a long time, but on this Utica Sunday, our attention is directed to this mission that he is on as he goes up to Jerusalem. His mission is to establish the new covenant by which men and women will no longer pay a ransom to God for their sin in sheep and goats over and over again as in the old. But now one holy, innocent, and righteous Lamb of God will be sacrificed for the sin of the whole world once for all. He came into this world to give his life as a ransom for many. Under the old covenant, the ransom price required for a soul had also to be paid in cash. No credit cards, cash only. In Exodus chapter 30, we read that God told Moses to take a census of the people, and then each shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel, according to the sanctuary shekel, which seems awfully cheap. Half a shekel. Is that all my life is worth to God? Of course not. For you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Jesus came into this world to give his life as a ransom for many. The judgment that he received from his Father, who does not deliver him from the deceitful and unjust man, is for you. The injustice carried out upon him is your justification before God, because it is your deceit and your injustice that he is being judged for. But he has been vindicated, not only because he was raised on the third day, but also because you now belong to him. And you call him by name. And he has given you his name. And you call him my Lord and my God. And you willingly and joyfully strive to live under his authority, entrusting yourself to him who judges justly, firmly believing and not doubting that your judgment before God has already been carried out on the cross by him, who has become the source of eternal salvation to all who believe. You are his vindication, along with the one holy Christian church, both here on earth and there in heaven. In his holy name and by his perfect authority, we may now make this prayer our prayer too. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and the unjust man, deliver me. A blessed Utica Sunday to you all.